We are about 24 hours out from the start of peak turkey time. Some people do Thanksgiving lunches. Others do a dinner. The important part is afternoon. Is it afternoon, rather, so the meal can pair with an adult beverage. Here with some insights on what wine goes with what dish and the art of selecting the right bottle for the right get-together are sommeliers Joe DeGregoli and Mark Runsvold. Joe is a certified sommelier and leads wine tasting events at City Center Wines in downtown Boise. Mark is certified, too. He's formerly of State & Lemp and is now part of that group's next venture, Kin. Guys, glad you're here. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here. Thanks, Matt.
Loosen up, you two. Come on. All right. So let us start with a primer on what a sommelier is. Joe, can you explain some of that to me?
Yeah. Basically, a sommelier is somebody who has expertise in wine with an end toward service, basically, helping people, whether in a restaurant or in the class setting like I do, learn a little bit more about wine, pair wine with food, basically get the most enjoyment out of wine possible.
Maximizing wine delight.
Yeah, that's exactly.
All right. So, Mark, when did you get into wine and decide to really pursue this? I mean, I know there can be precocious children out there, but I have never met a 10-year-old that says they want to be a sommelier.
That certainly was not me. I grew up in a half-beer, half-teetotaling family. I fell into restaurants in college and sort of learned wine on the fly until all of a sudden I was the one who knew the most about it around, and had to take this ad hoc jumble of things that I'd learned and kind of formalize it at a certain point. And that's really in the past couple of years that I actually sat down with books and took these classes and got myself certified.
You traveled and had to like take a test and like know things based on smell and everything, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's a fun scene. You show up 8 in the morning, I believe, and the first thing you do is taste 4 wines, and you don't have to identify all 4, but you have to get pretty close at 8 in the morning, like I said.
It's a great way to start the day.
It's a silent classroom. You're surrounded by other people, just sipping and shaking uncontrollably. And hoping that the studying you've done will carry you through.
So are there any hard and fast rules anymore regarding red and white wines, you guys, or do people just drink what they want these days?
For me, the big thing is drink what you want. If you enjoy red wine with fish, you should have red wine with fish. In general, I think wines, whether they're white or red, with higher acidity and less alcohol tend to be better with food. But as far as hard and fast rules, no, nothing, basically. Drink what you enjoy is the big one.
Echoing that too, Mark?
I very much echo that. Thanksgiving is about the food. The wine is a supporting player. So that's something to keep in mind.
Well, then let's get at it. You mentioned Thanksgiving. It is tomorrow, and the main event for so many people is the turkey. Roasted, fried, brined, I'm imagining how you cook it could affect what you drink with it. What do you guys suggest pairing with the bird?
I mean, the classic pairing for turkey is Pinot Noir, but any light-skinned red grape will do really well. Beaujolais is great. Cabernet Franc can do well. Italian wine, Barbera, Nebbiolo would be really great as well. And if you wanted to do white wine, I would do something a little richer, something Chenin Blanc, Chardonnay can work really well. In general, though, for Thanksgiving, what you're going to want is wines that are versatile and pair with a lot. Most people are going to have 6 or 7 different items on their plate. So trying to pair wine with a specific dish is probably foolhardy for Thanksgiving.
Well, going back to what you said about the red wine going well with the turkey, what sort of notes, profiles, flavors come out that do complement it so much?
Oh, boy. you know, I think it's turkey's pretty mild. So these lighter-skinned red wines, higher-acid red wines that are in general good with food, they show well with turkey as a protein because they're not fighting, generally they're not fighting char or smoke or anything like that. There's not a lot of fat in most of the turkey you're eating. So something, heavier would kind of overwhelm it.
So the mildness of the turkey lets the wine really pop.
Yeah. And also I think wines that have a naturally spicy characteristic work really well because people tend to err on the bland side with Thanksgiving turkey. It's yes. rare you're going to find it with exotic spice rubs on it or really, really strong flavors. So you can have some of that in the wine to help give the turkey a better sense of seasoning. So again, you know, like I think of red wine from Austria, like Blaufränkisch, that's inherently really spicy, really works well with a meat that's going to be not super, super flavorful most of the time. Maybe you have an awesome chef in your family, but.
Well, Mark, you worked at State & Lem. Flavors were all over the map there. What sort of things did you keep in mind when deciding what wines to put with certain dishes? And what would you recommend someone planning a big Thanksgiving meal be mindful of? Because, you know, as you said, this is six or seven dishes could be on a table.
Well, I think Joe has hit the main points that I would steer people towards. So high acid. Acid is good with food in wine. A lot of the sort of classic American palate in wine is higher alcohol, lower acid. And while lots of us enjoy those wines, they don't shine with food. The same goes for red or white. So you're looking for more acid.
Yeah, and sort of the science behind that is that acidity makes your mouth water. So in effect, it cleans your palate. So it makes every bite of food taste like the first bite, whereas normally, you know, by the time you've eaten the third bite of something, you're kind of just eating it. You're not really tasting it anymore. But using the wine to clean out your palate and refresh keeps the food vibrant, and it really makes it exciting the whole time you're eating it. So acid is great for that, and it's a way to just clear the palate, as well as it helps turn up the volume on certain things in food. It is worth noting that there's a lot of stuff on the Thanksgiving table that isn't wine-friendly. Brussels sprouts, green beans, these really tend to be hard flavors for wine to work with. Again, though, things that aren't as fruity and alcoholic are going to be easier to play with those and aren't going to taste really gross and vegetal compared next to those vegetables. So,
vegetal, good word for the day.
Yeah.
We're speaking with sommeliers Mark Runsvold of Kin and Joe DeGregoli with City Center Wines in Boise. I'm willing to bet a lot of people are heading to a Thanksgiving tomorrow and are bringing wine. Either that's going to be their sort of contribution or it's a gift for the host. Let's start with quantity. Joe, if you are going to be off to a big gathering, how do you get good value and good wine in a big quantity?
Yeah, well, it's, again, like when you're doing a big group, like a great way to get value is to go one step weirder. Like instead of doing Pinot Noir, you might do Nero d'Avola from Sicily. And because those wines are lesser known, you're inherently going to get great value. So let's say you wanted a really good California cab. We're talking $60 probably for something that's going to be really delicious and spectacular. But if you go Northern Italian red wine, a Barbera, you can get a great one for $20. So my recommendation would be to go to a good retailer, ask them sort of what you're looking for in broad terms, light body red wine, here's how much I'm willing to spend, and just go with what they guide you to.
Should people be embarrassed bringing up price points? Is that something like, you know, I want to give me your best bottle for $20. Should anybody be embarrassed by that?
Never.
Yeah, never. In any setting, it's totally fair to say what your expectations are. And from our perspective, it makes things easier. As a sommelier, you don't really want to have to guess what somebody's comfortable spending. You don't want to suggest something that's going to be way above their budget and make them embarrassed. So you say, hey, I'm looking to, if you're sitting at a restaurant and you say, I'm looking to spend $80 on a bottle, that's great information. Similarly, when you go into a store, let them know there's no point in getting recommended $640 bottles of wine if you only want to spend $20. So, yeah, just communicate it. There's absolutely nothing uncouth about it at all.
I hope that our listeners out there feel as liberated as I do having asked that. So for both of you, question for both of you now, if you're taking your host a bottle, giving wine as a present, how do you decide what is the right one for that person? Do you really need to know someone well to give them a decent bottle of wine?
Not necessarily. I love bubbles as a gift. And incidentally, they're pretty good with food, too. Champagne is a little higher acid than your average wine. We talked about that. They're also the bubbles themselves are great with food. They kind of give you that same refreshing effect that Joe talked about, just physically in your mouth.
Yeah, and basically you're going to be buying wine as a gift in two different circumstances, right? One is for maybe your in-laws or somebody you don't know very well, and wine is a great gift just as a fallback. And then you might be buying wine for somebody who's really into wine. If you're in the first category, I would say, you know, a great thing to do is give a wine that you know and enjoy and can talk about, because so much of wine is about the story. So if I had somebody visiting, I might buy them a wine from Split Rail, Idaho Winery. I can tell them about the wine and make it more of an experience. It's most people, unless you're like psychopaths like me and Mark, aren't like looking up how the wine is made as they drink it. Most people aren't like, well, I wonder if this is 30% new oak or 10% new oak. So whatever you can share with them about the wine is going to make it a more memorable gift. So learning things, wines with cool stories, maybe wine that's made in a unique way, those are things that really make it gift-worthy and memorable.
So, Joe, what is your go-to wine? You're pressed for time. You feel like you should take a bottle. What do you grab?
I would always grab Loire Valley Chenin Blanc, Vouvray, Mont-Louis. I just love it. I think it's a wine that too few people drink, and it's great value. You know, you can get world-class bottles for $30 or less. So it's a really special wine. It's something that isn't too weird that people are like, this doesn't taste like wine, but it's also something that people haven't had. So that's one that's a go-to for me.
Mark, you're in a pinch secret weapon wine?
Cru Beaujolais. So this is the step up from your Beaujolais Nouveau, the season for which is right now. A lot of people have had the Nouveau. The Cru is the big brother, we'll say. And like with these Loire whites, $30 gets you world-class stuff.
I want to thank our two certified somms for coming in today and sharing their vintage knowledge with us. Joe DeGregoli is at City Center Wines in Boise and leads tastings there. Mark Runsvold is with the State and Lemp team and is involved in their next venture, Kin. Guys, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming in.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, let's have a drink now, maybe.
Anytime.